again, thank you, choir, and Marion, and Joy, leading. We continue today with our reading of the Bible together, and we're on Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.' And I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, because you are an obstinate people, lest I destroy you on the way." When the people heard this sad word, they went into mourning, and none of them put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the sons of Israel, 'You are an obstinate people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. Now, therefore, put off your ornaments from you, that I may know that I may know what I will do with you.'" So the sons of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the Tent of Meeting. And it came about that everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the Tent of Meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. And it came about, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, thou dost say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but thou thyself hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moreover, thou hast said, 'I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I may find favor in thy sight. Consider too that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not by thy going with us, so that we, I and thy people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." Then Moses said, "I pray thee, show me thy glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." Then the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Thus reads the Word of God. Exodus 33:14. And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." This morning, we will begin a look at what is the heart of God for his people concerning the rest that he alone can give. This is a season of year when there are so many things taking place and so many strains and stresses on our time and our energy and our minds and our emotions, that it would behoove us to see that God has something better in place for those who love and trust and obey Him. It is always a worthwhile endeavor to consider and review even the most basic aspects of who we now are by the grace and the mercy and the power of the Lord God Almighty in Jesus Christ. We are His own beloved people. We go right back to the beginning of the Word of God as we start this deliberation. In Genesis 2, 1 through 3, we discover that God Himself gives us the defined reality of the need for His rest. After He created the heavens and the earth, He rested. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts, and by the seventh day God completed His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites were continually reminded of the Sabbath as the day of rest from all their labors. They were to spend the day in commemoration of the fact that as God rested on the seventh day, so were they to follow His example. Not just that the day was to be a cessation from their labor, but it was to be a day in which they gathered together to fellowship and to recount the goodness and the blessing and the glory of God. They were to consecrate it and themselves as unto Him, and so set themselves apart from all the other nations of the earth. As we read in Exodus 31, 12 through 17, the Lord Himself gave this commandment to the people, just as He established it through His own example. Exodus 31, 12 through 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, You shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day He ceased from labor and was refreshed. But on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. This day of rest was to be set aside unto the Lord. It was not just a day to sleep in and to do nothing. It was a day of reflection on the fact that God was their everything. They were to honor Him in the cessation of their earthly labors for the sake of His spiritual reality. They were to fellowship as those who were created in His image, doing the work of their labor for 6 days. Then they were to settle in for that period of rest in the comfort of knowing that they were His own people, redeemed by Him for His purposes and His pleasure and His glory. This does not present us with a picture of a slovenly conduct of heart and mind, but of learning to relish the fact and the person of their Savior and Lord. He had redeemed them from the slavery of Egypt. He was giving them the goodness of the land of milk and honey, which they worked and tilled and harvested throughout the week. It was a day to celebrate Him and His wondrous deeds as they rested in His saving grace and His omnipotence and His omniscience and His omnipresence. This was to be the case especially at those times when the preparation of the fields needed to be done, and when the harvest times were in season, as we read in Exodus 34:21. Even at those critical times, they were to still recognize that what they had and all they needed was supplied by the Lord God. This meant that there was no excuse for them to defame the day of the Lord's rest, not even if they felt pressured that they needed to do the work. He would sustain and He would provide was the essential reality of His Sabbath rest in holiness. Exodus 34:21. You shall work 6 days, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during plowing time and harvest, you shall rest. There is a definite divide put into place through this day of rest. The division is between that which we do with our hands and that which we reflect upon is divinely appointed in our hearts and minds. We are Christians at all times as we toil throughout the week. That never changes. If we are doctors or plumbers or gardeners, we are always first and foremost living and working for our Lord Jesus Christ. That is not the division of our consideration. What is the fact is that in all that we do, we work as unto the Lord, and then we consciously acknowledge that truth by setting aside our defined time to honor and to cherish Him above all else. Everything of this earth is set aside as we come to rest in His goodness and in His grace. That is the type that the Sabbath rest represents to the modern church. Our hands are off the plows and grasped together in serious contemplation that all that we have and are and ever hope to be is set completely and absolutely in Jesus Christ alone. As we read in Exodus 35:1-2, this was a serious and vital truth ordained by the Lord to His people. Exodus 35:1-2. Then Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. But on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord." There was no other way of it as the chosen people of the Lord God Almighty. If He rested on the seventh day, so should those whom He created for His own plans and purposes. They were not above the same duties and obligations under which He placed Himself. They were in no wise measurable, or they were in no measurable sense any better than he to know what was for their own best interest and for the glory of his name within the entirety of his creation. He told them to find their rest in his provisions. And that is what they were to do under even the penalty of death for disobedience to his command. It was not a choice on their part. It was a statute and an ordinance which they were to observe. It was not to be viewed as a drudgery or a curse, but as the blessed course of setting aside one day each week in which to honor the Lord's holiness without any concerns for the affairs of work and toil. This was emphasized over and over again, as in Leviticus 23:3, for the sake of the continued encouragement that such a day of rest was vital to the fellowship that God established with his people. Leviticus 23:3, for 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. Please note this emphasis, that it was to be a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. All the people were to partake of this day of rest, with its prominence and its importance centered in the Lord. Each home was to be a place in which there would be a sanctuary of complete rest in the communion with the Lord, a holy convocation, a feast of celebration unto the Lord. The Holman Bible Dictionary describes convocations as, quote, regular religious celebrations, remembering God's great acts of salvation in the history of his people. Traditionally called feasts in the English Bibles, these can conveniently be categorized according to frequency of celebration. Many of them were timed according to cycles of seven. The cycle of the week with its climax on the seventh day provided the cyclical basis for much of Israel's worship. As the seventh day was observed, so was the seventh month, which contained four of the national festivals, and the seventh year, and the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, which followed seven cycles, each of 7 years. End quote. The fact was that even the land was to be given rest by the people. They were to till and to toil the land for 6 years only. On the seventh year, it was to sit fallow and uncultivated so that it could regenerate the needed nutrients for the following 6 years. The truth of letting the earth rest is a reality which is just relatively recently become ingrained in the understanding of modern day. It is a scientific truth that the soil needs time to reestablish itself with the necessary nutrients and minerals to continue to produce good crops. God designed this, and he caused his people to practice this, as outlined in Leviticus 25:2-7. It is the measure of their faith in his keeping provision. For that seventh year, the entire nation, including even the livestock, was to utterly rely upon what God supplied in the course of the previous years. Leviticus 25:2-7. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Your harvest after growth you shall not reap, and your grapes of untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical year, and all of you shall have the Sabbath products of the land for food, yourself and your male and female slaves, and your hired man and your foreign resident, those who live as aliens with you. Even your cattle and the animals that are in your land shall have all its crops to eat. The entire nation, with all its inhabitants, participated in this process in order to receive the manifest blessing of the Lord upon themselves and their land. This also indicated the full measure of their faith in the provision of the Lord throughout that year of sabbatical regeneration of the land. They needed to count on His gracious supply through the course of the 6 years leading up to that seventh year in order to make it through. They obeyed God because they had trust in and devotion unto Him in the course in which they lived their lives. If He told them to let the fields and the vineyards rest every seventh year, they did it. This was despite the practices of those nations surrounding them who would try to eke out every last crop from their lands until their fields were barren and wasted. Then they had no choice but to move to other, more fertile lands, often through the course of conquest and war and violence, in order to obtain new lands for themselves. That was not the case with the children of Israel when they practiced the sensible and God-ordained manner of dealing with the land and with their hearts. As they allowed the land to recuperate, they were filled with no need to expand into other areas. Their land was sufficient for their every need, just as the Lord was sufficient to meet their every need. Their honoring of His edict kept their hearts and lives close to their reliance upon Him as their everything. That same principle held true in the seventh day of rest each week. For 6 days, they struggled with the course of making a subsistence effort from the fields and vineyards and endeavors of their own hands. They toiled and sweated and worked in order to bring in the fruits of their labors. Then on the seventh day, they offered themselves wholly to the Lord with hearts and minds that gave Him thanks for all that they had accomplished and for everything they had. The essential truth of this day of rest was that they continually acknowledged that all that they had came through and because of His work on their behalf. It kept them attuned to the fact of who they were and to whom they owed their freedom and their livelihood and their joy and their peace and their rest. Next week will be our Christmas message. The Lord willing, in the new year, we'll consider this consideration of rest that the Lord provided for the nation of Israel in their obedience to His ordinances. We will see it as the type of our Sabbath rest in Him, which is ours now in Jesus Christ. We are brought into a living relationship with God through Jesus. He supplies us with the opportunity to know complete rest in Him every moment of every day of our lives, if we will but seek to honor Him as our diligent and obedient service. He is our rest, as we will further consider, so be it. And He said, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Amen.